Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Luke chapter 5, we're going to look at that for a few moments. We won't end with that song today. We had Amazing Grace, but Amazing Grace won't cut it. Because we're going to be prophesying through this whole service. If you're not standing, stand with us. We're going to read the Word of God. And I want the person whoever's doing my notes up there, just don't pay attention to what's on the page. Pay attention to what I say. It'll be all good. Because right now, Holy Spirit's going to take us a little different path. It's okay. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. So it was that the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to pull out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." So they signaled to their partners in another boat to come and to help them. They came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. Verse 11 together. So when they had brought their nets to the land, they forsook all and followed. Let's pray. Lord God, today there's something prophetic you want to do, and I don't want to get in the way. Lord, I've prepared a message today, and I believe it's in context with what you're going to say. But today, Holy Spirit, there's some things you want to do deep inside of us. Lord, there's a type of Jesus evangelism that we need to adapt to our lives. And Lord, it finds itself in places where we would probably never go, or find us in circumstances that we're unaware of or not know how to navigate them. But Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just take all the things that we don't know and bring us to a place where we're willing to surrender to you and to see the power of your Holy Spirit change lives today. Lord, there are no less than a half dozen lives that need to be changed today. And Lord, I pray every one of them would come to that place of turning their life 100% over to you. Lord, there's others that need to get themselves back into alignment with you. And God, I don't know how many of those there are, but I know there are people that are hungry to hear your word and they're hungry for change in their life. Holy Spirit, do that work. And we'll give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. For we ask all these things in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. By the way, the song that you just sang, the title of the song is called Fullness. Sound all right? Ain't nothing left out. I want to speak this morning, and actually, to be honest with you, I'm going to be prophesying to some people today, and I say that with trepidation, not the fact that I am anybody, but I believe God has a specific word for specific people here today, and throughout this message, it will go directly to your spirit. It will bypass everyone else, but it'll go directly to you. You're not here by accident, you're here by God's providence. God does not deal with coincidence, he deals with providence. And the providence has the ability to go past all the things, bypass all the struggles, the pains, the hurts, the frustrations that you've experienced, and goes directly to where you are that God can meet your need. So I would say that. The idea being this is that, you know, oftentimes people want to characterize Jesus in his role model as an evangelist for the kingdom of God. And that is so underplaying who Jesus is. It is so different than what you might think. A more broad-based description of Jesus is one person put it in this particular phrase. He went about doing good. That covers it. Some of you need God to do some very specific things in your life today, and I want to tell you, he's in the house to do good in your situation. He's in the house, and he knows everything about you and everything that you've gone through, so I want to set you up for success in the very beginning. And that being the case, his life consisted of one encounter after another, fully submitted to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that reaped results of lives being changed by his presence and a desire to draw people into relationship with the Father. Sound like something you'd want? I believe there are some very specific changes that will happen in people's lives today if they say one word. You know what that word is? Yes. Admit you've been going down the wrong road and say yes to God, and you're a candidate for God to doing some amazing things. Well, let me get to the Word of God. There are a few questions I'll ask you. First of all, are you willing to meet people where they are at and to guide them to where they need to go to be connected with Jesus? Well, I like that. Ooh, yeah, I got some wonderful. Meeting people where they're at is a tough thing for us because we want to kind of prescribe or describe certain things that we feel comfortable with. And it's interesting, I picked out this story about, you know, the fishermen and Jesus, you know, encountering them. I'll tell you, here's my confession. I've been fishing one time in my life. And if I never go back, I won't be sad. Now, some of you say, that's blasphemy. To you, it is. But, honey, I ain't about to go back. It's early in the morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning. Some fellas dragging me down this trail. It's cold outside. And he's talking about the fish don't get up till 5, and then we're up at 3. We're going down this trail. He's got a little flashlight in front of him. He knows where he's stepping. And I'm around, and I'm tall, and I'm getting hit in the head by trees. And that was not good. So we get out to this particular place, and he throws this little thing. First of all, he opens this container full of all kinds of weird stuff. He said, "You put that on the hook." I said, "Mm-mm. It won't get on the hook by itself." But let me just fast forward to say, that encounter with that, and God bless you folks who love fishing. I know that Ray Dreyer, you couldn't keep him from fishing. God bless him. But you bring me back what you got, and I'm okay. But the deal behind it is that, but Jesus himself, let's just take a look at him. He was not a fisherman. That wasn't his thing. He was a carpenter. And so my first thing I want to tell you today is if you're looking for someone that kind of is in your genre, that's in your, that does the things you like and likes the music you like and that type of thing, you're going down the wrong road. Jesus can use you in situations that you previously aren't comfortable with, but that's okay. So the second thing I would say to you, will you allow the love of the Holy Spirit in your life to overcome any prejudice or hangups that you have that would hinder you from presenting the gospel message? And some of us are pretty intimidated by people nowadays, the millennials and different other people that, you know, and now they call them the nuns. No, not, it's not N-U-N-S, it's N-O-N-E-S. They don't believe in anybody's religion. They don't believe in, you know, atheism or Christianity or anything else. They said, "Oh, I don't believe in none of it. All of it's nonsense." But you know something? They're the best people you can witness to, because you've got something that they need. And if you won't be intimidated or afraid of them, you can give them the message of glory and the message of life and the message of eternity if you just choose to do so. Lastly, I'd say this: fishing for men must be done with the Holy Spirit inspired intentionality. The Holy Spirit will speak things to you. You say, "Me, go over there and talk to them." God says, "Go over there and talk to them." "Well, I don't know, what am I gonna say?" The Holy Spirit can fill your mouth with wisdom far beyond what you could imagine. The only thing God is asking you to do is be obedient and say it. Let's dive into this just for a few moments. Fishing for men is an elementary principle of discipleship. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. This is a good piece. "Who then is Paul? Who then is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered. God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Go down to the next two verses. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Let me stop with that verse for just a moment. Don't undersell the part you play in bringing someone to Jesus. Don't put yourself in a position where, it's just really, really, no. The devil will try to tell you it doesn't make a difference, but God sees it differently. Because God sees it from a point of obedience, and they're one, they're working together. Last verse says, for we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. Oh, man, if you're looking for validation, there it is. One of the things that our whole culture struggles with is belongingness. That's a word I gave you. You can use it anytime you want. Belongingness. I'm giving you the power to belong to someone, not to something. Jesus says that my sheep know my voice. We belong to him. And he takes that ownership seriously about caring for us. Well, here you go. Jesus gave us a divine example of how to evangelize the hearts and lives of men. He goes about this by this. He was comfortable sharing the word of life with an audience that would listen. So he takes, now I kind of reviewed this story. I'm thinking, Jesus got a lot of nerve. Sees this boat out there. Says he just shows out and he says, I'm going to use this boat. Can Jesus use you? Or does he need to get some divine thing from you? Or are you willing for God to just, in a moment's notice, take you to a place you've never been before? That's where miracles happen. Sometimes we get all uptight over stuff, but miracles happen when we're willing to go to a place where we've never been before at God's bidding. And he says, I want you to go over here. I want you to do this. And I believe that God's going to do some of that in people's hearts today. Well, furthermore, his conversation was relevant to those who were listening, and he engaged the culture of the people of his surroundings. So Jesus, being of a carpenter's background, was not intimidated by fishermen. And I understand they're a pretty rough crowd. They're like Ray Dreyer. Piece of work. The brother's a piece of work. I can say that because I love him. He knows I love him. But the deal is, if you judge people based upon what you think they are or what they look like, you're going to miss it. I know the heart of this man who loves Jesus, who will share his testimony with folks. And you can say, Ray does is fish. No, honey, he does more than that. And so we shouldn't be known by what we do. We should be known by who the Holy Spirit is designed us to be. Well, he engaged the culture of the people of his surroundings. And Jesus did not allow his vocation of carpentry to prevent him from this. And so we must seek to identify with people who we are associating with. Wow. I don't know. I'm not a networker. I don't use Facebook. I don't throw anybody's face. I mean, if you enjoy Facebook and you've got an extra 4 hours every day of your life, God bless you. God work with you. Amen. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. I just don't. But if you're going to go down that road, make it count for something. Stop taking picture of your dinner. Come on. Let's talk about something that really matters. You know, it's interesting. As Sister Marla was ministering today, and she's talking about, you know, the cross of Jesus, you know, and this type of thing. There's an insight that I want to tell you that will help you get a greater perspective on the cross. The cross was not God's idea. Man made the cross. Jesus went up on something that man made and redeemed it by suffering there for our sins. So every time you put your cross on, say, ooh, man made this, but Jesus sanctified what man made. Because everyone despised the cross. They knew that somebody who hung on a cross was no good, deserved to die, was a rascal of some sort. But Jesus, by being up there, he dignified all the crazy stuff you've ever done by going to the cross and suffered, bleeding, and dying. But then you know what he did? He went to the grave and he rose up and said, I've got power over this thing. So all the messed up, crazy stuff you've ever done. She says, I'll spread my arms wide on it. I'm going to sanctify all your junk. Oh, Lord. It's going to get deep today. Thank you. Our assignment and mission does not have to be hindered by the environment that we find ourselves in. And we must leave room for the Holy Spirit to take us to places that seem to go beyond our experiences and expertise. Here comes Jesus to these fishermen. Perhaps they knew, I don't know where they knew for sure, but it's a good likability that they knew he was, you know, from a carpenter's background. He says, launch out into the deep. Get in the deep. That'd be like me telling Ray Dreyer how to catch fish. Now, Ray, if you just kind of do this, put a little flour on the hook, you know, put a little something on there, you get a nice fish. Yeah. But he says, but he stopped speaking and he said to them, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. How ridiculous is that? Unless there's something prophetic about Jesus that knows things that you don't know, but he'll give you information for folks to bring them into the kingdom. Ever been in a situation, I'm going to tell you a couple situations in just a little bit, about how Jesus is able to go bypass all the known knowledge and come up with some things that just got in the deep. But then they're trying to be very polite, said, you know what? Jesus, you don't look like a fisherman, but we're going to help you with this. We've been fishing all night long, and there ain't nothing out there. But just to accommodate you, to be kind, we're going to do it. I want to tell you something today. God is going to speak to you directly in your spirit today. I dare you not to obey him. Because if you don't obey him, you will miss out on a miracle. Are you with me? So when God is speaking to you today, you say, if there's something that comes across your mind and thinking, you need to ask a simple question. Lord, is that for me? And you know, in an instant, the Holy Spirit will say, that's yours. And you need to claim it and apply it to your life, and things will change in your life. Let me go a little bit further with this. So each fish you seek to catch may require a different bait. Really? In other words, don't get stuck in a one-note samba. They're all like this. They're all a bunch of filthy, rotten sinners. And they just need to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And you just bring out your fire and brimstone and just slap them all around the room. Are you serious? Some people just need to be loved. And let the people know that they're loved by God. Some people just need a little bit of kindness. They need you just to look them eyeball to eyeball and tell them that you care. That's all they need. And so this idea about fishing for men is just, it's not just a concept, it's a lifestyle. And Jesus is the master at this. So it says Jesus was willing to challenge the fishermen to launch out into the deep and go beyond their perceived, what they perceived to be their expertise. And I like their words. They said, you know, master, we toiled all night and caught nothing less of it. But here's it, but nonetheless, At your word, I will let down the net. Personalize that right now. You may have been unsuccessful all of your life. You may have had a hard night last night or a hard week last week. But God may be saying to you today, I want you to leave that behind. I want you to trust me today to do some things that you thought were impossible. And regardless of what your experience has been, you need to believe what God is telling you to do. Do not let your experience derail God's miracle. So I've never had good luck in my whole life. I've always been, you know, always been underneath. I've always been addicted. I've always been the pessimistic, this type of thing. You know, this is time to let it go. I know what my experience is. I haven't caught anything all night long. But you're telling me if I let down my net, something's going to happen. I'm going to believe what you say, or I can stay with my nothingness. You got a choice today. Stay with your nothingness or go the way that God's telling you and come up with a catch. Wow. I want to speak faith into folks today. May I take just a moment and just be real tender with you? Many times we're intimidated or we're hindered by tremendous mistakes and things we've done in our past. And you know, before we even give things over to Jesus, it's like it's running in the background all the time. And you think Jesus is going to save you because you did this and this and this and this. And I'm not talking about little, I'm talking about big stuff that nobody knows about. That you would be scared to death if people even knew some of the things about you. But I want to let you know that Jesus is not holding your past against you. He's got a future for you. He already knows it. But when you bring it to him, he says, but nevertheless, I'm not going to let my experience hold me back from what you're saying is a promise I'm going to get a catch. I'm going to go out into the deep where I've been before, but something different is going to happen this time. I want to let you know something different is going to happen today. You may have tried all so many times before, but I want to let you know today's a new day. Today is a day that God's going to change things. Today he's going to break the chains off your life. Today's a day he's going to renew you and restore you to a place you've never been before. You say, why are you so excited? Because I know God's going to do it. And I can't help myself. The gospel message must contain clear, bold, and loving statements of intent and purpose. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. I love this scripture. It's great. For since, in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Leave that up there for a moment. You don't call preaching foolishness? People have called you foolish. You believe in Jesus? Really? The cross? Really? What does the word of God says? It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. You can say, oh, I don't believe that, and nothing's going to happen. Or you can choose to be counted among the foolish and have salvation. Take your pick. Because it doesn't measure up. Some of us are incapable of analytically dividing out things. Say, well, it doesn't make sense. It makes salvation. Forget about the sense. Let's talk about salvation that God can do. We no longer are living in our lives for ourselves. Our goal is to persuade men in their consciences concerning the things of the kingdom. And we must be assured in our hearts that the word of truth that we are presenting to men. Now I want to take you on this journey to a couple of places. Jesus met people where they were at in life. Two short scriptures. John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It's coming. I feel. There you go. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. I'm going to summarize both of these stories. I don't have time to go into them in detail, but this story, this kind of gives you kind of an introduction to Nicodemus. He's a ruler of the Jews, a very stately individual, a man of renown, a man of intellect, a man who's respected. His way of approaching Jesus is, he's doing it by night, and you can name your reasons why he did it, but I kind of feel that he comes to Jesus by night because he probably didn't want people to know. Don't judge people for that. Minister to them. Some people may come to you in a way that doesn't appeal to you, but he comes to Jesus by night, but he does say some confession. This man came to Jesus, he says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher. He says, I know that for sure. That you've come from God. Well, that's two things he's got moving in the right direction. No one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Well. Whew. Amazing. When the Holy Spirit of God comes upon your life, people will make testimonies about you. They say, really? You see that in me? I say, oh, yeah. The way you handle that situation, the way you handle that demotion on your job you didn't deserve, and you didn't go all out of sorts and this type of thing, there must be a God in this world. I couldn't handle that. You must have something in your life. I want to know, what kept you from going off? What kept you in the right lane? And so he's coming, he's inquiring of Jesus, and the issue about it is, you know, it kind of goes a little bit further. And Jesus just picks up a couple of things about this whole thing, and he says, "Oh, you're some of the Jews," and he says, "Most surely I say to you, unless one is born again of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." He says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh; that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Do not marvel that I say to you, "Must be born again." And then Nicodemus says these words. Nicodemus answers and says, "How can these things be?" Jesus says, "And you're a teacher, and you don't know that." Let's delve into this for a moment. Then there's another part of the verse, John chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. We're going to put these both two together. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat by the well. It was about the sixth hour of the day, and a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Wow. Talk about two contrasting individuals. And there's one person comes middle of the night, pretty much, and one person in the middle of the day. But you know what? They both had the same issue. They're both thirsty for something that only Jesus could supply. Do not judge people when or how they come to you, but try to assess what's the real need of their life. And Jesus found a way to and a method to ministering to people in their culture and their environment. And so that's what God has called us to be, is he's called us as disciples of his to minister to people in their environment. So this one fellow, he's coming by night, the other lady's coming in the middle of the day, and the story goes like this. One person sought him out, and the woman encountered him, seemingly trying to avoid meeting anyone else. So Nicodemus is intentional coming to Jesus, and this woman wasn't thinking about meeting Jesus. She's coming in the middle of the day when it was the heat of the day, which most times people do not come to the well at the heat of the day. Well, there's a reason why she's doing this, because she's hiding out. She doesn't want to be discovered. She doesn't want to have interaction with people. But Jesus had made a decision earlier on. He says, "You guys go into town, you get some food stuff. I'm going to stay right here," because Jesus was waiting for her to come. I want to let you know right now, Jesus has been waiting for you to come. He set it up for you to have an encounter with him. You thought it was your idea? I got news for you, sweetheart. No. You've been set up by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But set up for a good thing, because he wants to meet your need where you're at. Oh, this story, I can't get into all the devil, but I'll just pick out some points I think it will be very, very helpful. Jesus' evangelism will adapt to circumstances of a goal of meeting the needs of the heart of men. Now, watch this. Nicodemus was a highly revered in his community. But let's switch over to the lady. The lady that he's dealing with, Jesus says, the woman at the well was a woman trying to avoid people and just take care of daily life. And one person came seeking and knew it, while the other was avoiding others, was sought out by the Lord. One's seeking, one's avoiding. But Jesus is available for both. Wow. Wouldn't you love a Jesus like that? I do. There are times that, I'm going to be honest with you, that we don't want to be bothered by Jesus. Because you got something you want to do and you don't want him around. Jesus, could you take a hiatus from one? There's something I'm about to do. I know you won't want me doing it, so why don't you just take a vacation? I'll be back later. conviction. Because there's some places you went, you know that Jesus ain't going there with you, you thought. Well, the education of Nicodemus was a challenge by the all-knowing power of Jesus Christ. But here's the other part of it. The less educated Samaritan woman was caught up in religion and false pride about her heritage. If you went through the story, and like I said, I don't have time to go through it because I'm winding up my time pretty quickly today. But they're on two different spectrums. One's a ruler. He says, man, you got it together. And then this lady, she wants to argue religion. Our fathers built this mountain. And when we were just, he says, hold on. Sister girl, go call your husband. Get your husband here. He says, well, I don't have a husband. He says, you told the truth. There, you don't have a husband. You've had five. And right now you're shacking. Now that's my interpretation. But it shouldn't shock anybody because everybody's engaged right now. This is my fiance. We're going to get married in 2019. What is today? Oh, Jesus. You feel the anointing, don't you? Come on. Jesus knew how to deal with those who were seeking answers to life problems. The ruler wanted more moral truth. He says, I need to know about this. And Jesus gives him all, he says, marvel not what I say to you, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. You got to be born again. Now, the interesting thing about Nicodemus, I read through it many, many times. I wanted to find the place where he drops to his knees and he calls on Jesus and this type of thing. It ain't in there. Read it. But you find this woman who's trying to avoid Jesus, and she throw out all this stuff about, I don't have, this type of thing. And she starts to argue religion, and then all of a sudden it hits her. Oh my goodness. This man's told me everything I've ever done. She drops her water pot. She forgets why she's in there. She runs back into the city and she's talking about, come and see a man who's told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Christ? I want to tell you something. Some of the people that you have discounted or dismissed will be the first ones that will find Jesus. People you thought didn't have anything going for them and all this other type of thing, they'll have, oh my goodness, could this be Jesus? Let me summarize all of this in these last few words. Both people had a thirst for Jesus, for the woman came seeking him to satisfy her flesh, not knowing that it was her spirit that needed an encounter with Jesus. She wanted water, and he says, look, I want to give you water where you'll never thirst again. I want to tell you, every person in this room, every single person, came through those doors with a thirst for something. Oh, I just need to go to church so I can feel better, have a better week. No. There's a thirst that you have. And if you leave here without it being fulfilled or quenched, it's not God's fault. Well, quickly, Nicodemus is drawn by the Spirit and this type of thing. But last, the essence of Jesus' evangelism is live like you're carrying a message. Luke chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. This is great. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell at Jesus' knees and saying, depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Total vocational change. Why? Because Jesus, in his magnanimous grace, took the opportunity of doing something that had never been done before. He says, go out this direction. I'm going to show you what your life is. If you want to catch fish, I'm going to show you how to do that. He says, oh, but when they came back, they said, wait a minute. I see my whole vocation, it pales in comparison to what you have to offer. But here's the thing, I don't qualify. Neither do I, neither do you, because I'm a sinful man. And Jesus says these words to him, and he says these words to you. He says, follow me, and I'll make you someone or something that you never thought would be possible. I need to tell you something. None of us qualify. We all have flaws. We all have issues. But we need to confess those things. When we confess our sins, we open the door of our future for catching men or catching fish, as you call it. The Samaritan woman left her water pot and she does this thing. She found new purpose and direction for her life. Her shame and fear was put behind her. Here's the deal. Here's this woman who says, come see a man. Now, I guarantee you, some of the people that she went back and told the whole city about probably knew her story. Isn't that that woman that she'd been married five times? She's shacking up with Abizanel. I had to find a Bible name, Abizanel. I got to keep it real, you know. He and Abiz, they over there just doing their thing. She didn't care what you think. She says, something's happened to me. If you want to judge me by my past, go ahead, but I want you to come see him. I want you to allow yourself to be in his presence because he's able to change all of the guilt and the shame and all the things in your life and give you a brand new life. Anybody want a brand new life? Say amen. Don't let people hold you in your past. Oh, worship team, get up here. Try to shut me down some kind of way because I'll get annoyed all over again. Let me tell you something. You died when you gave your life to Christ. You're a new creation. Your fear is only to encompass the righteous fear of the Lord. And your purpose is to be found in pleasing God. Go ahead and applaud Jesus. Oh. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Sister Marla, do the best you can with this song. I'll tell you, when you guys start singing, I don't care if you sing it right or not, we're going to sing it again. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to speak some prophetic things right now. Some of you have been disillusioned, have been held back by things that you've done. But God says, I'm going to put that behind you, and today your life starts over again. I'm going to pray a prayer right now over men and women that are here today that will say, you know, today, Pastor, I'm going to surrender my life to Jesus. My past is not going to hold me hostage any longer. I'm also speaking to people today who have turned their focus off of the Lord and have gotten involved in the things of this world. I want to tell you today, today's your day to break free from all the stuff the devil has done in your life and to reclaim the inheritance you have in Jesus. Let me pray for us. Father, in the name of Jesus, I break off every curse. I break off every mistake. I break off every habit. I break off every addiction. I break off everything that would keep people from following after you. Lord, there are young women here today, there are young men here today, there's older people here today that have found themselves imprisoned to circumstances and situations. But today, God, you're saying that they can be free. Jesus, would you help them today to realize that? I want all the other saints here praying for folks. If you want to break free, if you want to have your life changed today, I want you to stand to your feet right now. Stand up right now. Stand up right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Stand up right now. I'm breaking it off of you right now in the name of Jesus, 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 in the name of Jesus. They're standing in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. There's three more people ought to be standing right now. Get up right now. Do not let the devil lie to you any longer, because this is your day. This is your day. That's right. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. This is the day. We had a lot of folks coming today, but you know what? Jesus knew you were coming, and this is your day to be set free. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.